Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Complicated beings,
But when God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and God has placed a new spirit in us, what happens is this spirit that God has on the inner man that has been quickened or brought alive has the ability to give our natural body the strength or the ability to stand up to those things that we cannot see in the spirit realm. So it's sort of a vehicle or channel for us to be able to live in the spirit realm in our natural body. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he came up out of the water and the Spirit of God lighted upon him. And what happened is the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, prepared him for earthly ministry. And so in order for us to do earthly ministry or even to exist in earthly ministry, we have to understand that we need the Spirit of God and that we have to do our ministry in the Spirit. Because if we continue to operate in the flesh, we'll get weak, we'll get tired, we'll get worn out, and we'll get burned out. But if we do our ministry in the spirit realm, what happens is the Spirit will lead and guide us, and we will be effective in ministry. And so what God did was he said, I want you to put on my whole armor. I want you to put on my whole armor. He said, I'll give you the best that I have. And in order to do spiritual warfare, I'll give you the best that I have, and I want you to operate in my power. I want you to operate in my might, and I want you to operate with my armor on. And the key thing is that he says we have to put it on. And in other words, God's not going to put it on for us. You remember when you were a kid or you were raising a kid, and the kid got to a certain age where they should be able to put their own shoes on, put their own shirt on, button their own clothes up, put their own coat on. And so God says, you know, I'm giving you the best that I have, I'm giving you the best armor that I have, but I'm not going to force you to put it on, but I'm going to tell you that in order for you to stand in this spiritual warfare battle, you need to put it on yourself. And that's the thing about God. God's not going to force us to do anything. He hasn't put a computer chip in our back to make us love him, to make us be obedient to him. God gives us a free will to be able to choose whether we want to serve him or love him or not. And so with this armor, many times we get beat up or beat down by the enemy because we won't put the armor on. Perfectly good armor sitting over there in the chair. Won't put it on. That was having a field day with you. Smack, smack, smack. Smack, smack, smack. Smack, smack. And God said, well, why won't you put the armor on? Why won't you put the armor? It's the same thing with the seatbelt. Seatbelt in the car, got seatbelt laws all over everything. And every time you get pulled over, you get a seatbelt ticket. Seatbelt ticket. Seatbelt ticket. Get into an accident, you bust it up. Why? Because you wouldn't put the seatbelt on. Perfectly good seatbelt in the car. You paying fine. You're getting busted up in accidents because why? You won't put the seatbelt on. And so God is saying, the armor is for your protection. I want to protect you with the best that I have, but I'm not going to put it on for you. You've got to put it on yourself. And so when you get to that point where you're saying, I need to stop busting my head up against this wall because it hurts. Somebody said the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That's insanity is, and that's what happens with this armor. Why do we keep getting beat up with spiritual warfare? Because we leave the helmet of salvation. We believe the breastplate of righteousness. We leave the sword of the Spirit. We don't let our feet get shod with the gospel and the preparation of the gospel of peace. We don't do any of that stuff. What happens is we get caught up in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And start fighting against each other. Amen. Yeah. We get caught up in the flesh because of the way you looked at me. You didn't speak to me. Amen. You rolled your eyes at me. You said something to my husband. Yeah. You said something to my wife. Amen. And the devil's sitting over in the corner talking about, I know how to wreck this home. I know how to get them to not do spiritual warfare. All I got to do is mess with them in the flesh. And how many know that God knows, that the devil knows how to get us in our feelings? Anybody ever been in your feelings? Getting your feelings, that means that you no longer walking in the spirit, but you walking in the flesh. Walking based upon how you feel. Amen. And if somebody says something to you, amen, at the right time, you're going to respond and not in the spirit. They push that button. Anybody ever know how to push your button? Especially the ones that are close to you. The ones that are close to you know that button. As a matter of fact, they like to walk by and just push it just to get a kick out of it. Yeah. Amen. Watch this. Here we go. Oh, there it is. Wait for it. There it is. Just to get a rise out of it. And so when you look at this thing, we see that in Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, Father, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about obeying, children obeying, husbands and wives getting along in the church, getting along on your job. Now, in order to do those things, you have to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 16, you have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So in other words, in order for me to get along with my children, in order for me to get along with my folks, in order for me to get along on my job, in order for me to get along in the church, I need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In other words, I have to operate in the spirit realm in order to get along with my husband, in order to get along with my wife. Somebody needs to say amen.
Amen.
Because husbands and wives can get on each other's nerves. Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that one more time. Husbands and wives can get on each other's nerves. Also, church folk, church members can get on each other's nerves. Anybody been there? You love them. You love your church members. You love your fellow parishioners. But they can get on your nerves. Hello? They can get on your nerves. You can sit there, you can pray with them, you can sing with them, you can minister with them, but sometimes some of the things that they do, can we keep it real? Get on your nerves. And the thing is that they do it often. Husbands and wives, they love each other, they spend years with each other, but they get on each other's nerves because they do some of the stuff often, and you wonder, why are they doing that when they know they get on my what? Nerves. I'm like, you ain't testified tonight.
Yeah.
Why does your wife do that when you know it gets on your nerves? She knows it gets on your nerves. Why does your husband do it when you know it gets on your nerves? Amen. Why do your children do certain things when you know it gets on your nerves? And you sitting there and you saying, I know they ain't gonna do that again. I know they're not gonna do that. And there they go and do it again. You're like, why would you do that again? Right? And then you want to get in your feelings. And you want to start using some of them old words that you used to use of the four-letter variety. Amen. And so the only way I'm going to be able to get along with my wife, the only way I'm going to be able to get along with my husband, the only way I'm going to be able to get along with my children, the only way I'm going to be able to get along with my people at my church family, is in to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In other words, I can't deal with you, and you can't deal with me right, not unless you're dealing with me according to the word of God. Is anybody with me on that? You can't love me right, not unless you're loving me the way God would have you to love. You can't talk to me, not unless you talk to me the way God would have you talk. Otherwise, I'm going to mess it up. Especially when you're doing that thing that gets on my nerves. when your husband is doing that thing that gets on your nerves, amen, if you don't walk in the spirit and the power of the Lord, you will say the wrong thing.
You sure will.
Amen. You will come out your mouth loud and wrong. Amen. You will create a storm in your own house. Amen. If you don't think about that thing and say, I need to handle this in the spirit. I need to take two steps back and say, don't do it the way the flesh wants to do it. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Where you was like the flesh wanted to do it a certain way, but you knew if you went that way in the flesh, it was going to create a storm in your house. Amen? And it might feel good for that split second. And that thing starts bouncing off the wall and smacking you upside the head. So the storm that you create is not only affecting them, but now it's affecting you. And so God says, now I'm telling you, the only way you're going to be able to do the spiritual warfare is if you put on the whole armor and if you act like you know for yourself. He said, I got some might for you, but if you want to fight that battle by yourself, is anybody ever trying to go to battle by yourself? That's instant fail. Instant fail. Instant beat down. You go out there trying to do it your way, talking about what had happened with them, and end up with more drama than a little bit. So God says, okay, let me get this thing straight. I want you to get along with everybody by being strong in me and in my power. And he says in verse 11, Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor. And see, that's one of our things, is we don't like to go the whole distance. We like shortcuts. We like shortcuts. We won't go the whole distance and do it the right way. We won't shortcut the system. We won't sneak around outside. But God says, put the whole thing on. Well, it's heavy, God. Put the whole thing on. Well, it's hard, God. Put the whole thing on. Well, I'm tired, God. Put the whole thing on. Well, God, I'm not feeling good right now. Put the whole thing on. Why did God say, did he say put on half the armor?
No, he
did. Did he say put on two-thirds of the armor?
No,
did he say put on an eighth of the armor? Did he say put on one piece of the armor? He said put on what? The whole armor. Right? They go to that seatbelt again. Some of them don't like to wear the seatbelt. Get in the car. He's like, do I have to really wear the seatbelt? Especially when you got something nice on. You got your nice blouse on, or your nice shirt, or your nice suit, and you're like, I don't want to put this thing on here. It's going to mess me up. But you get into that 40-mile-per-hour accident, and you'll be like, man, I should have put that seatbelt on as your teeth are wrapping around that steering wheel. As your teeth are wrapping around the steering wheel, you were like, I should have put on that seatbelt. Gotcha. We had no teeth. Suit looked sharp until the teeth start bleeding on the suit. So God says, put on the whole armor. And he says, the reason is that I want you to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, I want you to be able to stand up because the enemy is slick and he is conniving. And he don't mean you no good. Amen. The enemy knows what you like. Can I go in? He knows what smells good to you. He knows what looks good to you. He knows what feels good to you. He knows what type of man you really like. He knows what type of woman you really like. He knows who you hung out with before. And he knows who to put in front of you on a daily basis to cause you to lose focus on God. Amen. Amen. And he will catch you in a time where he knows you weak. Amen.
and bring tall, dark, and handsome, curvaceous, amen, in front of you. Can I say it like that? In front of you, in front of you, amen. Amen. And cause you, amen, to not obey God, but obey the flesh. Everybody in here needs to holler, amen. Amen. The wiles of the devil. The slickness of the devil. Amen. And bring somebody in here that will tell you that they love you. Amen. Will smile in your face and say they dedicated only to you. And they only have eyes for you. There's nobody else but you. Amen. Amen. And get you to smile in top and bottom. Get you where you can't even see right. Have the ability to drive an 18-wheeler rig through your nose. Because your nose will be wide open. Your girlfriend can't even get through, too. Your best friend forever will tell you, girl, he don't mean you no good. Girl, he ain't nothing but a dog. Girl, you need to run far and fast right now. And you just turn your head and put your hand up and say, you just don't understand. He loves me. He wants to be with me. He has no other person but me. And then she'll pull out her cell phone, send you a video and some pictures of him with somebody else. That ain't him. That's his sister. That's his mother's sister's aunt on Pookie's side. They don't have nothing going on. And she said, girl, you sound like a fool because of the wiles of the devil. Why? Because you didn't put that whole armor of God on, and you got some fiery thoughts shot at you, and you was burning up in the flesh. Amen. You was burning up in the flesh. Amen. And you went down fast and hard, you crashed and you burned. Has anybody ever been there? Do we got any crash and burners in the house tonight? Went down hard, crashed, bam, bam, bam. Burned. Because we didn't have the armor. And so what God says, he says, look, I was trying to take you out. Go to verse 12. Mm-hmm. He said, you're not wrestling against somebody who's going to fight fair. You're not wrestling. The battle's not someone's going to fight fair. He said, the devil's not going to fight you fair. He's not going to fight you fair. He's going to make it seem like it's everybody else's fault, but he, in verse 12, he says, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
What?
But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are, I call the spiritual bookies that are betting and scheming on you that you're not going to meet the line, that you're not going to be able to handle. And so they got the spiritual wickedness in high places. And they're like going to God and saying, she's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. They are going to fall, and I got money. I got spiritual money down on them. As soon as you walk half naked in front of him, amen, he's going to lose his mind. Amen. As soon as you walk big pecs and big biceps in front of him, she's going to lose her mind. Amen.
Amen.
And these are the spiritual wickedness in high places. And they try to get you to think that they're not waging war, that they're not setting traps for you, that they're not setting you up. They'll get two people in a church so mad at each other that they won't receive anything from God. They'll be so mad, they'll be singing in the choir. Somebody get ready to testify. They'll be singing in the choir. Great is our God. Great is our God. And then they might talk about, I can't stand in your God. Sing with me now. I can't stand your God.
and but they won't be singing it out loud, but in their mind, they're like, how great is our God? And she'll be looking out in the choir, from the choir, looking at somebody sitting next to her mate, mad than a mug. And he only sitting over there so he can see you sing. But if you got it twisted, like she invited him over there to sit next to her while you sing. So you ain't singing in the spirit. You mad now because the choir's in the choir and the preacher get up to preach. And the only thing that you can think of is why she got to be sitting over there next to my man. Mm-hmm. And the only reason he's sitting over there is because he can't see you from over there, and he wanted to sit over there and see. But you can't see that. All you see is he sits next to her, and you can't hear the word. You can't. There's no anointing you're singing because it is just so messed up that they two sitting there. Even though you know you came with him and you go home with him. Amen. You mad because he's sitting over there talking about, oh, baby, you sang so good. And you get down at the choir stand on the way home talking about, what do you mean I sang so good? You was all up in her face. You all sit next to her. You ain't looked at her one time but to say good morning. You're not in her face. And now you got a big problem in your house because all he wanted to do was come over there, sit there, and see you sing and encourage you. But because you got the wrong spirit, amen. Yeah. You ain't singing right. You mad at the man that loves you, that's going on with you, that you wanted to see you sing right because you didn't fight that spiritual warfare. And now you got hell in your home, hell in the church. You mad at her, and she's not even thinking about your man. Amen. And it's all because the devil said, I'm going to set this thing up with flesh and blood. I'm going to make the choir mad with the preacher, mad with the deacon, mad with the sister and the brother. I love breaking up choir. I love breaking up music. I love messing with the music. I love messing with the choir director. I love messing with the member. I love getting you up on Sunday morning. You think you're going to sing a song, and the pastor say, the Lord told me we're going to sing something different. And you was all tuned up to sing your song. And the pastor said, we're going to sing something different. Now you mad as I don't know what because they didn't get a chance to sing your song. And he does it every time it's time for you to sing your song. So I'm going to quit the choir now. Because every time we get ready to sing my song, the pastor said, we're going to sing something different. I'm mad. I'm not coming back to choir rehearsal. I'm not singing anymore. I'm sitting down. I'm going to sit over here. And not only am I going to sit over here, but I'm going to have a sour puss face on my face. So when you get up to worship, you'll know that I'm pissed off because you didn't let me sing my song. All right. And I want you to know, amen, that I'm mad that I can't sing my song. So now, spiritual warfare, not against flesh and blood. No, I mean it's against flesh and blood. That's what they want. They want you to get it twisted. Every church that I've ever known, amen, has always had a problem in the choir. Amen. Every church, Satan loves to play in the choir. Amen. Love to get folks mad because they can't sing their song, and don't let somebody else sing your song. Oh my goodness. You know how to be the spur of the moment, the spirit behind, and someone just tuned up a song, and they tuned up a song, it just happened to be your song. You like, wait, no, they're not even going to sing my song. Hold on, wait a minute. They're not even going to sing my song. And they not. And then the first thing is, they can't even sing it right. I sound better than them. But it happens every, can we keep it real? It happens every Sunday. It happens every Sunday. It happens. Somebody in the church is mad with somebody. Somebody's upset. I've seen somebody get upset when somebody said their name wrong during the note. You wishing somebody a happy birthday in the announcement, but you said their name wrong.
because it wasn't the thought of them saying happy birthday. It's if you say happy birthday and you got my name wrong.
Oh, man.
So now, when you meeting and greeting, they can't meet and greet to hug you and be blessed. The first thing they got to do is go on a V-line and tell you, you know you got my name wrong. And the first thing you say is, good morning, how are you? Well, you know, it's a good morning, but you got my name wrong. And so now that spirit's in there. Now that spirit, you got my name wrong. Now that spirit, you said the announcement wrong. Forget you said happy birthday, but you got my name wrong. All it is that we're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. We're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. When you come through those church doors, you have to put that whole armor on, because there's going to be somebody in here that's going to try. Amen. There's going to be somebody that's going to let the devil ride right in with them. It's going to be attitude. You ever seen somebody that you walk in the door and you say, oh, they got an attitude today. They're like, whoa, boy. And you say, good morning. They go, what's so good about it? So before you get to church, amen, you need to get what? Prayed up, anointed up, ready. Anybody ever seen the praise team just look mad and angry? You walk in and you say, oh my God, these people are doing Thanksgiving and praise, and they look like they're ready to fight people head on. And it's a jacked up spirit that's just, oh, messing with them. And am I the only one? I mean, you walk in the door and you see him, and you're like, oh my goodness, what went on last night in their house? And the anointing is nowhere to be found, Brother Brandon. No anointing, nowhere to be found. They the same word. Because they're in their feelings. They're in their emotions. They're not doing any spiritual warfare. And they're like, come on, y'all, sing. You're like, oh, my goodness. We need to stop and pray right now. I did that one time when I was at the Springfield as a church. And it was just like the service, the enemy had it. He had his fist and finger and feet all over. And I said, oh, we just need to stop right now and pray. I think we were like 10 minutes into the service. I said, we need to stop. We need to pray. We need to go back to the beginning and get this thing straight. And everybody was looking at me like, right, I said, in the choir, y'all need to pray too. Go back to the beginning. Matter of fact, they had marched in. I mean, I asked everybody, get down out of the choir and go back to the back of the church and start all over. Amen. I said, God's not having it. We got to get our right mind. We got to be in the right spirit. We got to fight spiritual warfare. Everybody got to be on one accord so we can give God the proper praise in here and get out of our feelings and our emotions. I think it was because one choir was supposed to be on the left side and the other choir was supposed to be on the right side. And they was beefing because this choir was on this side of the choir stand, choir was on the other side of the choir stand. So they was beefing. They're beefing. So now they're mad at me because I'm telling them, no, we need to get out the choir stand. Go back, line back. Everybody just go back, line back up. We'll go to the back. We're going to pray. We're going to get this thing right. Yeah. And they got it right. They came in and the spirit came in and really flashed. But this is what we're talking about, spiritual war. Spiritual warfare is going beyond our understanding that there's something that we can't see. And our five senses were limited. It's sort of like being in a room and you have the window and you have a sliding glass door with curtains on. All of that world is out there. You don't know about it. Not that you open those up and you see it.
That's what it is when we're operating in our five senses. But when you open that thing up and you push it back, you see in the spirit realm all of that mess that's going on. Amen. In the spirit. And you have to be able to discern that to be able to operate in a manner pleasing to God. And the number one area that the enemy wants to destroy is between the husband and the wife. Amen. If he can destroy the husband and the wife, the children are going to go down here. The relationship on the job is going to go down here. The relationship at the church is going to go down here. All of this expands back to what God says, is I need you to have the proper relationship. And so when we advance down, we're going to look at this problem. Let's go down to verse 13, Ephesians 6:13. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand. What do you mean withstand, preacher? Withstand? That means that it's going to come whether you want it to or not. Amen. This is what Paul is saying. He said, withstand. He means that from the enemy is going to come when he wants it. Wouldn't it be nice if it was always 70 degrees and 40% humidity every day? What do you call those days? Scrumptious days? Scrumptious. But how many of you know that 0 degree days are coming?
Yeah.
How many know that the streets, the rain, and the snow will come? Amen. How many know when you flip around at the beginning of the year and you pull out of that harsh winter and you go through springtime once?
And the
flowers and the blooms and the weather, and you open the window and it's just wonderful. But in the middle of somewhere in the springtime, somebody said, yeah, here it gets hot. And you know that 100-degree day, what? It's coming. Right? So what do we do as people to prepare for the four seasons? Summertime, you get your sandals out, right? You get your shorts out, right? Your short sleeve shirts, right? In the fall, you get your sweaters out, right? You get your sweaters out. And in the wintertime, what do? You get your boots, you get your gloves, you get your hats, right? And then after the wintertime comes the springtime, right? Springtime, you get your little spring jackets and, you know, all your little springy things, right? So you're ready for every season, right? What happens if it rains and you forget your umbrella? You're going to get wet, right? And so what Paul is saying here is that it's going to come. And you need to know it's going to come. So I want you to be ready to be able to withstand it when it rains.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be able to have an umbrella. Anybody ever have one of them flimsy umbrellas?
Yeah.
When you open it up and then it just turned inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's
good. So there ain't no purpose of having that because that's not going to do you any good. And so when you look at what God says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So I want you to be ready because the evil day is coming. I want you to be able to stand. I want you to be able to stand up to it because it's coming. I want you to be able to get through the winter because it's coming. When it's cold outside, it's been cold for 3 or 4 days on end. When you walk outside, it immediately gets you chilled. Amen. Your fingers are cold, your toes. Anybody ever got sick and tired of being cold?
Yeah.
And you just outside and say, I'm tired of it being cold. God, please change the weather. And God said, I want you to be able to stand the wiles of the devil. I want you to be able to stand this. I want you to be able to put up with brother so-and-so until brother so-and-so changes. Lord have mercy.
Did you say that?
It got quiet. I want you to be able to put up with sister so-and-so until sister so-and-so changes. And how many of you know that sometimes sister so-and-so will have to die before she changes? Amen. That's tough. Some of y'all got some folk in y'all house.
have some folks in your house that God said you have to love them until they change.
And I'm trying to do that.
Hey, you're going to have to love them until God changes. Amen. You know, you're going to have to be able to withstand that evil joker or jokehead in your house. Amen. He said, I want you to be able to withstand it. He said, that's why I need you to put on an old armor, because I need you to withstand. And when dummy acts dumb for no reason in your house, God wants you to be able to stand up and pray for them and love them in spite of them. He doesn't want you to go off. He doesn't want you to flick out. He doesn't want you to cut them out. He wants you to be able to withstand in the evil day. He wants you to smile at God. Still love you. I'm praying for you every day. I'm praying God's blessing in your life. I'm praying God will make a difference in your life. I'm praying that God will give you a new and a fresh anointing according to his grace. Amen. I pray blessings on you instead of curses. Amen. I speak healing in your life, not this. Amen. And God will give me the grace to be able to withstand all your stupidness and dumb. And I won't get smart and nasty and arrogant. But I will keep praying for you in Jesus' name. And even if I have to withstand until the Lord takes you away from here, that's what I'm going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's what, when he says in verse 13, and having done all to stand. He said, have all to stand. In verse 14, he says, stand. You got to stand some more. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The loins are this section of your body. And he said, you got to check that with the truth. The truth is Jesus. He says, I am the way, truth, and the life.
Right on.
The truth is the word of God. You got to be able to protect yourself because the enemy will try to come at you and try to dissuade you to believe in a lie, to try to take you off your track into believing what thus said the Lord is not true. And so he says you got to have your loins girt. You got to have your loins and you got to have your integrity that you're going to believe what God said. And you're going to stand for what is right. So when you're standing on the truth, you're standing on the word. Somebody has a knowledge of you to say that person is going to do the right thing even when nobody else is in the right. Even when nobody else is looking at that person is going to tell you the right thing. They have their loins girt about truth. They're going to live according to the truth of the word of God, no matter what, when they have their loins girt about truth. Truth, and this is an old saying, truth never changes, whether we believe it or not changes. But the truth never changes. The truth is going to be the same. When you believe it, I believe it, it's still going to be true. And so when we learn to have our loins girt about truth, that means that our integrity, our character will remain true no matter what the enemy does. And a lot of times in our family, children look at us and they see us take their loins off. And when we take it off, we are prejudiced. And we say, do as I say, not as I do. Amen, children. Get it. In other words, we used to tell the children, always tell the truth, little Johnny. Always do this, little Susie. And then little Susie and little Johnny see us doing the opposite of what we say. Amen. Hypocrite. Not prejudice, hypocrite. Word of hypocrite. And so when you have your loins, what about with
truth, what happens is when the enemy says that you did something wrong, you say, I got my loins girded about truth, my integrity is intact. When you're speaking a lie, when you're speaking, you're saying something about me, you're saying a lie about me. When you're backbiting, when you're slandering me, it's not the truth. Amen? That's your loins. Your loins are girded about with integrity, with truth. When you are without blame, when somebody says something about you and it's not true. And all of us know at some point or another, somebody told a big bold faced lie on. Anybody ever been lied on? Lied on. You weren't even there. They said, and they came around the corner and they said, I'm like, oh my gosh, who is that? And when they said so and so, it was Brother Lee. I'm pretty sure it was Brother Lee. I'm like, well, wait a minute, Brother Lee was in Virginia all weekend long. How in the world did he get from Virginia up to Maryland at the time when he was in Virginia? Well, I thought it was Brother Lee. It looked like him. He had the same type of car as him, and folk would lie on you. And so God just put that loin cloth, truth on, so that you are above reproach, that you have integrity, that if someone says something, you say, nah, that's them. Nah, that's definitely not them. I knew that's not them, right? Until you get on these reality TV shows. But that's what integrity is. Integrity is that you're going to do the right thing even when nobody's looking. When nobody's looking, you're going to stand for integrity. When nobody's looking, you're going to do the right thing. When nobody's looking, you're going to pick it up. When nobody's looking, you're going to put it down. When nobody's looking, you're going to do the right thing. I know there was one time when someone gave me back $10 more change than I was supposed to have. And I went back on Friday. I went back on that Monday and gave the money back. And the person was so thankful because I think it was during year five because of the miscount that they had in their drawer. And the manager was saying, it's good to see the people, but still, we still have honest people in the world that you would, you know, take that $10 back and give it to that person, even over the weekend. Well, you know the devil was talking about, put it to that $10. Go ahead, but I have my loin covered with truth, the integrity. And so I made sure that $10 didn't get out of my wallet until I went back to the place and gave the $10 back. That's the thing that the enemy wants to say, God, they're not being truthful. God, they're being hypocrites. God, they're doing this. And he always wants to hit us with that to see if we're going to stand up and do what's right. And the question is, it's easy to do wrong when nobody's looking. It's real easy to do wrong when nobody's looking. You look around, ain't nobody looking. Amen. Can I go here for a second? When nobody else around and you're in your vehicle, and you come to that stop sign, and you know it says stop, right? But nobody's around.
Yeah.
Some folks just don't even come to a rolling stop. Some folks just blow right through that chunk. Amen. Right? There's a stop sign at the end of my neighborhood, and folks don't stop at it. They just blow through. And they're so used to blowing through it that they don't even see the car coming up. And several times that I've almost been in an accident, other people have almost been in an accident because those people, they're whipping around there, not even looking twice, and other cars are coming to travel. But I say this to say, will we stop at the stop sign? Will we have integrity to know that God wants me? Or are we going to blow through that jump? Amen. When we praying, it's easy to pray for everybody when you're in corporate prayer. Pray for so-and-so, brother so-and-so, pray. Are you consistent so and so? When you praying for yourself, when you praying by yourself, do you leave them on purpose? And I go back to the parents. Parents will cuss the child out on the way to church. Cuss them out. Call them everything but a child of God. Talk to their boyfriend or girlfriend at the same time. Then get in church and they hold it in that. And the kids look at them like, oh, really? Really? He didn't cuss me out. See your boyfriend or girlfriend on the way home. Huh? And then you're going to get in there and you're going to act like you hold it in that. Running around the church talking about thank you, Jesus. When I know as soon as you get out of this joint, you're going to pop something in your joint in your mouth. You're going to turn up your whatever you, and then you're going to cuss me out. And then you still going to go over your boyfriend's house talking about thank you, Jesus. And you want me to serve God? And you acting just, can we keep it real? And you acting like that? Where's your integrity? Not walking with, oh, my God. Oh, that man. But that's what that means, having your loins girt about truth. That means that you're having integrity. And then it goes down to verse 14. It says, the second part of verse 14, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. That's how you, as a believer, you protect your chest or your heart from Satan with the breastplate of righteousness. It goes along with the loins. It goes along with the breastplate. It's protecting your heart. It's protecting your heart. You're living what you say you believe. You're practicing righteousness. That means that you're set apart. That means that you're set apart and that you're in the right relationship with God. And that when you're in the right relationship with God, you'll practice the things that God say to practice. And so when you think of the breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness on, that I'm in the right relationship with God, and because I'm in the right relationship with God, Satan can't accuse me of doing the things that are contrary to God, because I'm lined up with it. What God says is right, I say is right. What God says is wrong, I say is wrong. What God says is righteous, I say is righteous. And that protects me from giving the enemy an opening to shoot at my heart. My breastplate of righteousness is actually shielding my heart. What God says is right. Is everybody trying to be on that? You got to understand the enemy would like to come in, look for a spot that he can ease in. Ooh, gotcha. Because God said this was right. But you said that that was wrong. And then he starts messing with the cops. Am I right with God? Well, isn't it right with God? Because God said that that's wrong. But you're doing it anyway. So you're saying that's right. And so that gives them the opening to mess with your heart. Is your heart right with God? You say your heart's right with God. But God says doing this is wrong. But you say doing that is right. Is your heart right with God? Do you really got righteousness? He'll tell to the man that's an adulterer. The deacon in the church. Amen. Wife and three children. Amen. But he's going out with somebody else. Right? God says it's wrong, but he's saying it's right by his actions. Is his heart right with God? And so when Satan will come in and accuse him in front of God and say, hey, that's your deacon right there. But you know what he's doing on Saturday evening? He's home with his wife and kids. He owns this to someone sometimes. Making cake. Amen. And so his breastplate is compromised, because he's not saying what God says is right. We went for the loins means that I'm gonna do what's right even when nobody's around. That's my text. The breastplate says that I'm going to say what God says is right because I'm in the right relationship with God. So what God says is right, right. What God says is wrong, wrong. And so I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to protect my heart so the enemy can't question my relationship with God.
There you go.
And is everybody tracking right there? So that comes with being righteous. That comes with practicing what God says is right. And sometimes that seems not easy, especially when you've been doing stuff a long way the wrong way. It has to be a transforming of your mind. It has to be a renewing of your mind to say, in order for me to keep this breastplate of righteousness on, I got to agree what God says is right. I need to study the Word of God because I might have some things to think. I might think it's okay to have a girlfriend on the set. I might think it's okay to have a boyfriend on the set. Hey, man, if nobody ever told me it was wrong, I think it was right. Hey, man. Am I right? If nobody ever told me that it was wrong, I would think it was right. But that's the whole thing of having a breastplate of righteousness on. Is that I'm agreeing with God and what God says is right. And so, because I agree, my heart is right with God. Anytime that you can agree that what God says is right with God, your heart is right with God. Is everybody tracking with that? Your heart is right with God. When you say, okay, God, you say that's wrong, I'm with that, it's wrong. But when you start saying maybe, you know, I don't know about that, God. I should be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
So, like when God says, don't get drunk, and every weekend you are.
Oh,
every weekend you drunk. Okay? Right? And God says that you shouldn't defy yourself. Oh, you're a man. Okay.
Amen.
And you smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day? He said he won't dwell in ugly temples. And you defiling your temples? And God said, that's right, right? He said, well, wait a minute, I should be able to smoke and drink. I should be able to smoke what I want and drink what I want. Smoke ain't going to send me the hell to drink, it ain't going to send me the hell. Right? Am I right? But God says that you should not defile that temple. So you've got to protect that and say, but God says, right is right. And so my heart is right with God when I agree with God on what he says is right and wrong. And what happens is the enemy will come in and he'll try to put a wedge in there to get to your heart. And what that does is it puts a wedge between you and God. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the old breastplate is so that you and God will agree as one, and you'll practice what God says. You'll believe what God says is right and what God says is wrong. And so there's no room for the enemy to make division in your relationship with God. Is anybody sure with me on that? And so we want to make sure that there's no division. Oh, my God. Wow. It seems like you got some. It is 9:05. You don't want to belabor anybody. But we'll get back to this on next Wednesday. Amen. We'll get back to this next week. But study the book of Ephesians, verses 13 through 20. Amen. All right, let us pray. Most of all, God, our Father, we thank you, God, for what you've given us in your word. Father, we pray that you would just allow this word to find a place in our hearts, God. We would be able to apply this word to our lives, God. We would be able to stand against the wild devil. Father, we thank you for those who called in. Again, we have Steve Russell, Sheila G., Pastor G., and Duke. birth, God, we pray for our God. God, we just pray, God, we will be a Bible believing, preaching, teaching, and speaking church, God. We will be pleased. So, God, until we meet again, we pray for all traveling mercies, and God, that we will pray that we will be able to come together, worshiping and spirit and church, your appointed time, and your appointed place. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good night, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good night.
Oh, my God.